Let's go to the UK now. Matt Dathan is our correspondent. Hi, Matt.
Hello.
Matt is Home Affairs Editor at The Times. Pretty strong words and sanctions, in fact, as the UK calls out China over cyber attacks. Remind us of the scale of what the government says has happened here.
Yes, so this refers to a, well, largely refers to a hack of the Electoral Commission, so the election watchdog here in the UK, a Chinese actor that they announced in August last year, they weren't able then to attribute blame, managed to access the accounts of more than 40 million voters who had signed up on the electoral roll. And this was of concern because it could potentially allow the Chinese state or whoever had their hands on the data to find the addresses and personal information of Chinese dissidents and, for example, Hong Kong dissidents who have fled to the UK since the national security law. So that's why it was concerning on a sort of state threat level. And yes, on Monday, Oliver Dowden announced and blamed the Chinese state for this prolific global campaign of cyber attacks. And not only was it the Electoral Commission, but they also targeted politicians by targeting personal information of the of politicians, their staff, journalists, academics, and millions of voters. And it was a joint operation along with Britain's Five Eyes allies, including New Zealand and the US, to expose Chinese espionage. So it was very well calibrated jointly across different countries to really try and call out the Chinese behaviour, really. And there's been a lot of sort of criticism of the UK's response, though, to these Chinese cyber attacks. The UK sanctions just two Chinese officials in response to Monday's announcement, and just one company who was responsible. And a lot of Conservative MPs over here are saying you've got to go a lot further and designate and declare China as an official state threat, which would mean that everyone who works for companies or any affiliation to the Chinese state would have to register with the British government, the intelligence services here, if they wanted to, every time they came to the UK, which obviously put a lot of burdens on business, etc. So there's that sort of the current debate in the aftermath of Monday's big announcement.
The what next thing, has that yet been answered?
No, exactly. So Oliver Dowden, the Deputy Prime Minister who was in charge, responsible for the UK government's response to this the cyber activity, he heavily signalled that China could be declared as official state threat. And this is important because it was only in December that Britain passed a new national security law, National Security Act, that basically enables the government to put countries in different tiers of threats. So there's a two-tiered threat. So the second tier would be countries that designated a sort of a political threat to the UK, but the Conservative MPs want China designated in the top tier of threats, so in the enhanced tier, which would trigger that requirement for every individual who works for the Chinese state, whether that's for a Chinese state-owned company or a company that links with China, the Chinese state would have to register with the intelligence services, and that would, as I say, put a lot of burdens on business. And there's been quite a lot of opposition within government, actually, because this has sort of been rumbling on in the background for the best part of the last 2 years when the national security law was first introduced. You know, do we use it to penalise China for their cyber activity espionage here? And there's people, you know, Foreign Office, the Department for Business and Trade, and also the Treasury have argued that if you did this, it would really impact our trade and business relations with Beijing, not just because of those sort of extra administrative requirements for the businesses to register with the intelligence services, but more so the reaction from Beijing. You know, what would they do in retaliation? It's very clear that they wouldn't. They wouldn't just lie down and take this punishment. They would, and they have warned that there would be repercussions if Britain took this sort of unprecedented step.
Trade repercussions or other.
It would be, I think, trade repercussions. So putting big new sort of levies and quotas on trade with the UK. And, you know, Chinese trade is worth about £100 billion, apparently, according to the economists over here, so to the Britain. So yeah, obviously has massive impact on it. We see just from the Russia sanctions that we've imposed just how much of an economic hit that has had. So if we were starting to sanction effectively Chinese business, then it would have a massive impact on the cost of living to everyone's wallets here.
All right. Government under pressure again over migration. This is new figures showing a record number of migrants crossing the channel so far this year.
Yes, that's right. So figures revealed today show that the number of migrants crossing the channel in the first 3 months of this year have already hit a record high. And so far this year, 4,664 migrants have crossed in small boats across the channel since January. And this is important because of Rishi Sunak's key pledge to stop the boats and to that's one of his five main pledges and priorities of his government. And so far from stopping the boats are increasing in their frequency. Obviously, the Rwanda policy, which I would argue is key to stopping the boats, and that policy is still stalled because of the deadlock in Parliament. We heard, obviously, last week that the bill has been delayed by an extra month because the House of Lords is blocking or refusing to accept the House of Commons version of the government's version of the bill. So it's really quite bad news for him, and it's also going to have an impact on the local elections on the 2nd of May, in turn, could have a massive impact on his leadership, because if the Conservatives record losses in that local election across the country, then Rishi Sunak's leadership could be under threat. So the small boats issue is going to have a big impact, not necessarily on the general election result, but it will have a big impact on Rishi Sunak's chances of actually even getting to that general election unscathed.
Could you elaborate?
Well, it's because because it's one of the five main pledges that he's made. If he's not only failing to achieve the pledge of stopping the boats, but actually the boats are increasing, then it really sort of starts to question his credibility of his record of delivery. He's done fairly well on some of the other pledges, sort of halving inflation. I'm not sure how much impact his government has been able to have on that. Other factors, you know, and then but then there's other pledges like the NHS waiting list. He pledged to halve, and that's gone up. So it's going to start questioning his record of delivery. And on migration, obviously, the Conservatives are so fixated on this issue, not just illegal migration, but legal migration, which has gone through the roof. So if they go to the country, having presided over not only record legal migration, but also record illegal migration, then I don't think the Conservatives will have any chance whatsoever of winning the election. And also, it's going to cost them votes on the right of the party to the Reform
UK. I was just wondering whether someone was going to try and do a last-minute role of the PM, but that's fine. Let's move on to the Princess of Wales, who put out this video sharing way more information than is normal about her health, but probably feeling like there was no choice. What's been the response in the UK from various places?
Well, there's obviously been an outpouring of support for her. I mean, obviously there are the usual trolls online who have abused her and questioned whether she's actually telling the truth, etc. But the actual positive, I think, repercussions of her announcement on Friday, which has dominated the news over the weekend, of that she had early stages of treatment after a cancer diagnosis early this year, is that the number of people who are searching for cancer on the NHS website has gone through the roof. So it led to a surge in members of the public searching for NHS advice on cancer. The NHS cancer website recorded a 373% increase of traffic following the announcement. So in the 24 hours after that, after Princess of Wales' statement, there were 2,840 visits to the page, and that's nearly five times as many over the same period the previous week. So, you know, along with King Charles's cancer diagnosis, it's been probably are quite good in terms of the public's awareness of cancer and the ways in which you can go and get early treatment for it. So I think that's probably a positive sign from it.
All right, just finally today, Matt, there's a big row over England's kit for the European Championships. We're not having another socks debate or something, are we? What's happened this time?
Yes, so back to the subject, the most important topics facing our country. So Nike, which is the manufacturer of England's official kit, unveiled England's kit for the European Championships this summer, which we all hope and expect that England will go all the way for the first time ever in the European Championships and win it. But they've caused a massive row over here because they've changed the St. George's Cross colours and using purple and blue horizontal stripes rather than the obviously the white and red. It was called it a playful update to the shirt ahead of the Euros, but it sparks a almost unanimous outrage actually, as MPs, the Prime Minister, the Labour leader Keir Starmer, and even Gareth Southgate, the England manager, have all said that it disrespects England's identity and they must change it. I think they've stood firm so far, but England's two matches since that kit was unveiled on Friday have not gone very well. We lost to Brazil on